Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Darren is a small-town girl with big city ambitions. She left her divorced mom and adoring sister behind for a music career in Toronto. She found a gaggle of artists to hang with and an apartment mate who has a crush on her, and she earns her rent at a catering job. But when, in a Dickensian plot turn, she's caught taking home leftover sandwiches, she finds herself fired, broke, starving, and nearly homeless. What to do? She signs onto a service where she's paid to go on public dates with much older, much richer men. This solves her money deficit, but what about her career and sense of self-worth? Will Darren's new arrangement lead to success, or is she doomed to failure as an artist on the payroll of a sugar daddy? Sugar Daddy is a coming-of-age feature about a young woman discovering her self-worth and what her youth, body, and talent will fetch on the open market. The film is written, produced by, and starring Toronto-based writer, musician, actor, and artist Kelly McCormack. Kelly has made her mark on stage and screen. You've probably seen her as Betty Ann on Letterkenny, as well as parts on Ginny and Georgia on Netflix and the upcoming A League of Their Own on Amazon. Sugar Daddy had its premiere at the Canadian Film Festival and opens on April 6th. And it's up for a slew of prizes at the Canadian Screen Awards. I last interviewed Kelly here in 2014 for her offbeat film Play, the movie. So I'm very pleased to welcome her back again to tell us all about Sugar Daddy. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, what an intro.
Thanks so much for coming. And it's great to see you for 2 seconds virtually speaking, but good to talk with you again.
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. I'm always happy to connect with people who watched Play the film and talked about it because it's, you know, where I got my start. And it's been a long time coming up to this moment as well.
So Sugar Daddy is about a young woman in her 20s trying to make it as an artist in Toronto who discovers something about how much she is worth. Mm-hmm. What does she discover? What's she worth?
I think when I wrote the film, I was struggling with all my part-time jobs that were very similar to Darren. And I began to not be able to unsee the various ways I was being commodified, my femininity, my sexuality, my physical body, and the expectations that were put on me by not just directors I was auditioning for, or my manager at the catering company, or the boutique that I worked at, or it was each one of them, various exchanges and various profiles of worth. So I think what we're dealing with at the beginning of the film is a woman who doesn't know what she's worth. And she's unfortunately given that the power of her worth to other people, particularly to men, so that when she goes down the rabbit hole of sugar babying, it sort of amplifies that disorienting relationship with her self-worth.
So as you're saying, it partly reflects what your situation was at the time. And people always say you write about what you know. So in what way is Darren like you?
Well, besides my affinity for sweatpants and loungewear and my lust for art, I don't know if her and I are very similar. I think I can relate deeply to the feeling of having something to give to the world as an artist and not having the means, the time, or the self-worth and the self-approval to do so. Because this film isn't about her just needing time and money. It's about her reconciling and burning down old habits in order to find her voice. So I can relate to her in her drive and her ambition sort of, and her lust for art and her affinity for sweatpants. But you know, Darren's a hot wire. A live wire. She's a hothead. She's sort of running, but her feet aren't really below her. I'm really interested in telling stories about people doing things and making choices that are unconscious to them. And so in that way, I feel like I'm a little more grounded than Darren is. Darren is a lot more of a frenetic character.
Did you write the role thinking of you playing the role?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. At the time, I sort of, you know, as I've said, I was sort of fed up with where my career was at. And I had written two really fun films with all my friends. And with this one, I really wanted to create an engine for myself. And I had read somewhere that Rocky wrote, Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Sorry. Now, he's just so, the eponymous character is now Sylvester Stallone in my head. But he wrote Rocky and then he shopped it around and he basically said, like, this film doesn't happen with me without me starring in it. And so because I was, my career wasn't really happening, that's basically how I started shopping this script around. I was like, this is my Rocky. It comes with me or doesn't come at all. So I wrote it for myself because I was really disappointed with the type of female characters I was auditioning for. And I thought there was a huge, I thought like female characters were impoverished and not really well drawn. So that's why I made this one for myself and then went from there.
The movie deals a lot with sex and gender issues, you know, male, female issues. Why did you name her Darren, which is usually a male name?
Oh, man, what a great question. I'm glad you caught that. Well, performative gender is a theme that sort of feeds into all my work. I have very complicated and, you know, conflating relationship with gender and as someone who like is not very gender conforming. So I'm always looking for ways to skew the presentation of gender. And I thought it was more valuable and more honest and something that, at least again, as I said, something I could connect to more than what I was auditioning for, to watch a woman who is a tomboy, who wears her father's clothes, who has a boy's name, her sister has a boy's name, who was raised by a mother who gave both of her children boys' names, and see what it would be like for that character to then perform these various icons of femininity, the red dress, the like Virgin Mary blue dress on top of the car, the little black dress. Like, these are all iconic moments of commodified sexuality and femininity. So it was more valuable for me to bring in my own sort of representation of gender, but also just have a character who starts at a not just a baseline, but it almost like a negative space, so that it was even more valuable when she would put on a dress or when it would become this performance art piece or a drag of sorts for this character.
So speaking of her father and its sugar daddy. So what are Darren's daddy issues and how do they affect her adopted career as an escorter?
Also a great question. Well, you know, there's an absent father in the film and I like representing that by quite literally having the father not in the picture. You know, I always like that, not in the picture, but it's a double entendre that I can't get enough of. So I like to investigate the ways in which the holes that people leave in us when they leave us, and the ways in which Darren's father has left at a very young age, and it's left her this feeling of needing approval from men. And I think that's a feeling people can relate to when someone leaves you or hurts you, you sort of try and fill that void elsewhere. So although she tells herself that she's seeking sugar daddy arrangements because it's financially viable, I think she's also drawn to the fact that she has this absent father figure and that she needs this approval from men. And that's one of the undercurrents that help support the relationship that my character has with Colin Fiore's character, Gordon, where they're both seeking to fill this void left by her absent father and his absent relationship with his own daughter.
And not as a spoiler, but Darren has trouble or is always looking for approval from men, but she faces a situation where she needs approval from a woman and she doesn't know how to deal with it. Can you talk about that without giving anything away?
Yeah. I mean, again, this movie was sort of profiling some of the big mistakes I made in my early 20s. I didn't make that mistake overtly, but, you know, patriarchy And sexism affects women too. And it affects how we see ourselves and how we see other women. So I really wanted to show a relationship between two women on stage or on camera, sorry, again, my theater background, on camera, where you see that Darren's interest in seeking approval from men that she has been sort of brainwashed with her whole life and has not really challenged yet is stopping her from being able to see Nancy, the studio executive, for the power that she has. And that's a very honest, I think, I remember being in university and thinking that all my male professors were brilliant and all my female professors I could challenge. That is completely something that I, you know, now all I want is female professors. Now I want to be taught and, you know, investigate. But at the time when you're a young woman and you've been raised in a patriarchal world, these are the lies you've been told. And so it was really important for me to represent that and not show an antagonistic relationship between two women, but show a woman, a younger woman, not being able to see a woman and her worth, and that older woman being able to like see Darren for who she is and what she's going through and be the only one who knows how to sort of maybe tell her what's up.
The film Sugar Daddy is a coming of age film, but it's punctuated by performances, songs, dances within the structure of the film. And they pass through three stages. Darren passes through three stages: timid, joyous, and atrocious. Can you talk about the entire film as a structure and those stages?
Mm-hmm. Wow, these questions are so fun. Well, that sort of came from the fact that in the beginning of the film, I sing an opera piece from Adriano Lecule by Maria Callas. And in that song in Italian, Maria Callas sings from this old opera written in the 19th century. She says, I'm a woman. I am the fragile instrument. I am both timid, joyous, atrocious. And we were so struck by the fact that in this old opera, there was this sort of expression, because I am woman, I am timid, joyous, atrocious. Like, what does that even mean? Like, so we started unpacking that, and it really felt like it was emblematic of what the resurrection of my early 20s felt like. I felt like I was timid and trying to please. And then when I, you know, tapped into my own self-worth and my own sexuality and my own performative gender, and in a way that felt like I had power, there was so much joy. And then dealing with the fallout of that and the sort of the bridges I needed to burn and the relationships I needed to end in order to find my voice finally as a person, as a feminist, as a, you know, non-conforming gender person, it was like atrocious. It wasn't necessarily empowering. It was this like puking black ink and bile, and that's what it felt like. And I find that imagery very empowering. So when I worked with Marie-Hélène Delorme, the Foxtrot, the musician who wrote the music for the original, for the film, she and I just tapped into that, and it became this ongoing thing. And then the edit, I think Lauren Grant, I think it was her idea, one of our incredible creative producers, to put these cards in the film and isolate this film as these chapters in this character's life. And it was one of those things that we found in the lyrics of an old Italian opera, and it just became exploded into this creative motif that we kept returning to.
Great. And finally, correct me if I'm wrong, but your sister and your mother play the parts of Darren's sister and mother within the film. Is that correct?
My sister, Hilary McCormack, plays my sister, but the great Paula Boudreau plays my mother, who is not.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah,
that's okay.
I saw her name. I was trying to look for, but I couldn't find the character's name in the IMDb, so I wasn't sure.
Honestly, Paul, if I could have an adopted mother, my mother is an exquisite human being, but Paula Boudreau was an excellent sub in and so wonderful, and I will cast her in a million things. But yes, my actual sister plays my sister, which sort of had to happen because, you know, we sing this Roaches song at the end of the film, Hammond song, and it recalls like us singing on the boat in Vancouver and, you know, our whole upbringing. So it was really meaningful to have my actual like flesh and blood on set with me.
That's actually the song I'm playing as at the, over the intro. So when you when you hear the final recording, you'll hear that again. Not your, but the original Roach's recording.
That makes me happy.
Okay, so thank you very much for talking with me. That was an excellent movie, and it's so interesting what you've told us about.
Thank you so much. Those questions were so wonderful, and it's always nice to chat with you.
Kelly McCormack is a Toronto writer, actor, musician, and filmmaker whose latest work, Sugar Daddy, is opening on April 6th. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.